Ala al-Aswani is an Egyptian journalist, a dentist, and the world's best-selling Arab-language novelist. His novel, The Yacoubian Building, which was published in 2002, was translated into over a dozen languages and won him international acclaim. His latest, Chicago, is about Egyptian expatriates struggling to reconcile their traditional Arab culture and their religious and class differences with modern life in post-9/11 America. It's published by HarperCollins in a translation by Farouk Abdel Wahab. And I'm very pleased that it brings Ala al-Aswani to the show today. Hello.
Hello.
This book takes place in the United States, but don't you live in Cairo?
Yes, I live in Cairo, but I had my experience in the U.S. as well. I did study as a dentist in Chicago, and I had a master's degree from the University of Illinois. So I have my human experience in Chicago. That's why I was inspired, as a matter of fact, to write.
Now, why would you have gone to Chicago to study dentistry? I'm sure there are fairly decent dentistry schools in Egypt, and there are schools in Europe and
I had
else.
A scholarship. I was when I went to Chicago, I was an achieved dentist. I went for graduate programs, and I was accepted in 3 or 4 universities in the U.S., and I was advised by some American friends in Cairo to go to Illinois because it's a good university, and I was really very lucky to go to Chicago, not only for dentistry, because it's a very rich city in the sense of I learned very, very good things and very important things in life, even in Chicago.
Was there an expatriate Egyptian community of the sort that you write about in this novel at the dental school?
Yes, of course. Not only the dental school, but in the whole university and even out of the university. And I had to decide that time if it's should I stay in the U.S. because I had a post in the university, or should I get back home? And then I intended to listen to the immigrants, to meet much more immigrants than I have in my department. So and that's how I got to have my experience, which was very inspiring to write the book.
Now, I have met many writers who started or also were doctors and lawyers, but you're my first dentist.
Oh, thank you very much.
Is there some kind of relationship between dentistry and writing fiction?
Yes and no.
I mean, I was trying to think of all of those jokes, drilling, cavities.
Yes. Usually you could see this as you're doing the same thing with your fiction writing because you are cleaning the decay, not for the tooth. Probably you clean the decay of the society, and you try to put a kind of filling with your ideas.
And maybe later they'll give you some plaques.
Yeah.
Were you a writer before you became a dentist?
Yes, of course. My father was a writer, very known in Egypt as well, and I was his only child, and that was my only dream, to be a novelist. But in the Arab world, you cannot make a living from literature, so you must have another profession. That's why I decided to be, my father as well was a lawyer, so that's why how I became a dentist. And also I must tell you that medicine generally gave much more fiction writers in history than any other profession.
Well, you've described your dental clinic as your window.
Yes, of course. I can feel, I can understand people, I can feel what's happening in the society through my patients. I must tell you that I'm a kind of special dentist in the sense that I do care about the people themselves. I give them time, I listen to their stories, and we become friends, you see, and I take care of their teeth.
Now, you said earlier that you can't make a living as a novelist in the Arab world. There are an awful lot of Arabic speakers and readers, and your last book sold quite well.
I'm very exceptional case now. I make
Would
money.
Mahfouz have been able to?
Yeah, Mahfouz was not able. Mahfouz had to work before the Nobel Prize, had to work as a civil servant till the age of retirement. By that time, he was the greatest and most famous Arab novelist. But we don't have an efficient system to protect the rights of the writers.
And so it's a copyright thing.
Yes.
It's getting paid royalties.
Yes. And it's also political because the Arab dictatorships don't feel very comfortable with the idea of an independent writer. And they know very well that if you could make your living from writing, then you will become an outspoken against dictatorship, something they don't like, you see.
The characters in this book are all professors or students. Is that because a college environment creates an automatic community?
Yes, and because also I was something what among the very positive things I had in America is that I was working in a department where almost every ethnic group on earth was there. You see, Japanese people, Chinese, Israeli people, Arabs, Egyptians, everybody. And I feel that this is very American. And because it's only in America that everybody could be accepted, you see, no matter where you come from, what do you believe, what kind of God you have. And I think that is very positive in the American culture.
Although it was something that you could find in the Arab world in the past. Cairo was a place of great scholarship. Damascus as well, Baghdad to some degree.
Yes, of course, yes, of course.
And that's all kind of disappeared in the last 100 years or so.
I'm still optimistic. I think it hasn't disappeared, but we must work very hard to keep this tolerance, you see. As you say, Egypt was an immigrant-receiving country for centuries.
Alexandria was one of the most international cities in the world.
Till the 70s, one-third of the population in Alexandria were coming from European origins. So that was Egypt. And that's why I find myself in a real struggle to defend these values against fanatism, you see. As a matter of fact, we have two struggles in Egypt. One struggle for democracy and another struggle to defend tolerance and the positive values, Egyptian values, against fanatism. And I think both struggles are very important and they are very linked together.
Well, we've seen the anger toward writers, Egyptian writers in recent years, where there, in some cases, people have been forced into divorces against their will and their spouse's will because they were seen as apostates. Naguib Mahfouz, Egypt's greatest writer before you at least, was stabbed by somebody who was angry that he was writing things that was considered unacceptable.
That's exactly something really I would like the Westerns to know, that we are suffering in the Arab world from terrorism as much as the Westerns are suffering, you see. And I am very sad because, often you could meet some Westerns who think that any Arab is a potential terrorist, which is something totally.
I wouldn't be sitting in this room alone with you if I thought that.
Yes, I'm very peaceful.
We did frisk you on your way in, but my guest is Ala al-Aswani. His latest novel is called Chicago, and it's published by HarperCollins. Many of the people in this book study histology, which is not a well-known subject in this country. What is histology?
Histology is the science of the tissues, or mainly the human tissues, which are safe, which are not sick. Because if you study the human tissues, which are not sick, then you study histology. And when the human tissues are sick, then you have some signs for the disease. Then you go from histology to another science, which is pathology. Right. Mm. So
This is a metaphor for human relationships
exactly,
as well.
Exactly. It was very useful for me, you see. And I really wrote a novel that's going to appear in English the coming year about this, about the power of vision. Because in histology, when you're using a microscope with, for example, 10,000 power, you see something. And if you switch to 100,000 power, then the first scene will totally disappear and you're going to see another world. And I think it's very, very significant, not only for science, but for our life as well.
Well, it's what novelists do, or many novelists do. They try to find the thing that goes a little deeper. The relationships between men and women in your book are really complicated and difficult. Do you think that's because of the tensions between Egyptian and Western cultures?
Well, I don't think that usually when you have a man and female strong love affair, it means a love story to me means a very great moment of pleasure and a very strong moment of pain as well, because you have such an emotion and then you are at risk to suffer. And you have this opportunity to be very pleased. And I think that's exactly what happened with my characters. If you're talking about, I have a couple of love stories in the novel.
Well, the sense is that adjusting to American culture is especially difficult for Egyptian women.
Is it
easier for men who come here to accommodate themselves to American culture?
Yeah.
Because women have such prescribed lives in Egypt, it's a lot more difficult.
I have this. I have this character who is a veiled woman coming, even not from Cairo, coming from the countryside of Egypt. And when she's very intelligent, she's brilliant, and she's a student here, but she begins to rethink about her conservative education. And then little by little, she fell in love with somebody. And what is very interesting that this novel was published in episodes in Egypt, and then I had one crazy fanatic reader who was very angry from the fact that this veiled woman is going to have physical relation with her lover. So every week he used to send email saying that I will never accept that she will have love without marriage, so you must push her to get married. And
but you have... You have depicted her, Shema, as conflicted and guilty about this relationship she's developed with Tariq.
Yes, because
it may not have happened in Egypt. It's more likely that it would have happened in a place where the rules are a little more relaxed. But she still has a hard time dealing with it.
I don't present my opinions in the novel. I try to make real characters. Accordingly, they are the way they are, you see. And for her, she felt really guilty. But this does not mean that I am convinced she is. I don't think she has. She must have any sense of guilt. But the point is that she, at one moment, your characters become real creatures. They become independent from you. And then you try to follow them and to describe what they are doing, you see.
Still, you chose to have her come from the countryside, not from Cairo.
Yes.
And I wonder whether she would be different if she were from Lebanon or Syria or Jordan.
Yes, of course. And even from Cairo, it would be different. And even if she came from the countryside 20 years ago, that would have been different. You see, because as I told you, I mean, we have...
She wouldn't have gone to Chicago 20 years ago.
No, we have a very strong influence by a closed interpretation of the religion, which is the Wahhabism. I don't know if you're familiar with this.
Sure.
This is a big
problem. That comes out of Saudi Arabia.
Yes, and it's giving troubles everywhere, including Egypt.
The character Salah is married to an American woman, but he's pining for an old girlfriend who was a radical in Egypt. Does he regret not being an activist and a radical and demonstrating against the government?
Yes, he is having the question if that was the right decision for him to immigrate, especially
his old girlfriend called him a coward.
Yes. Yeah, this is his problem. And he got this in mind for 30 years, you see, and he tried to make it up. And he had this strong nostalgia and calculations and re-evaluation about his whole life. And I think that I felt that he was really suffering, and he tried to make it up, but it didn't work.
It's interesting, after 9/11, reading all of the Arabic literature, that people who had come to the West and had different reactions. Some became Westernized. Others were so horrified by what they found, including a famous Egyptian writer and political thinker, Kitab, I can't think of his last name, but anyway, that he had actually radicalized him against the West.
No, I don't think this is true. I don't think anybody who could call himself a real intellectual could see the West at one single thing, because this is not true at all. You see, you could be against the Western policies. I am personally against George Bush policies, and I am the what George Bush did to the Arab world and the invasion of Iraq and all these things. But I know the difference that American people are not George Bush, you see, and you cannot make any kind of collective thinking, because this is very dangerous. And it's very dangerous on the other side, because this is the other side of having an Arab as a potential terrorist, you see. Because, I mean, I have nothing to do with Osama bin Laden, you see.
One of the characters in Chicago is a spy. Is he based on anyone you knew in the Egyptian community in Chicago?
Well, he will. If he's going to read this novel, he's going to recognize himself.
Well,
but I cannot say. Yes.
Intelligence agents have shown up to spy at literary salons you've held in Cairo.
Well, I mean, I don't think there was any basic difference between any dictatorship that happened, even in the West or in the Arab world.
What do you think they're trying to find out? Whether somebody says, "I hate Hosni Mubarak"?
Yes, no. I mean, they try to control students. They try all the time to reflect what's happening in the Egyptian society abroad, and they try to present themselves as people very useful to the regime. And then when they get back, most probably they are going to have very important posts in the government, you see.
Do you think that your fame offers you some protection from persecution in Egypt?
I'm not quite sure, but I think that without democracy, no single person could be protected, really, you see, because the real protection is democracy and is a consistent law for everybody.
Do you think that's possible in Egypt? Because there is no successor right now to Mubarak, is there?
Well, yes, but I mean, there are many successful, but the point is that you don't leave any opportunity for anybody to show up, you see. But I believe that we have many, many people very efficient in Egypt. But the point is that we must start a real democratic procedure.
And you write a political column for a leftist newspaper,
yes,
in Egypt?
Yes, as well.
Is there press freedom?
Well, the freedom of expression is a term from political science that means a democratic tool of change, you see, that begins with writing. When you write something, documented something ought to be done to change the situation. What we're having in Egypt is different. We're having the freedom of talk, in the sense that you write whatever you want and the regime will do whatever it wants, you see. And I see this very distant from real democracy.
Ala al-Aswani's latest novel is Chicago, beautifully translated by Farouk Abdel Wahab and published in this country by HarperCollins. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. Today.